In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the main themes of the New Testament Gospels, of course, is the necessity of knowing and believing a right identity of Jesus, who he is and what he came to do. It is, as Jesus asked his disciples once directly, "Who do you say that I am?" When you get it right, you hear Jesus' response to Peter, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That is to say, discovering, knowing, believing Jesus' true identity is only revealed by God the Father through his word, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, namely faith in Jesus. But whereas there is only one right answer and confession of Jesus Christ, there are at least two ways of coming up with a wrong answer, says today's gospel. One is forgivable. The other, the so-called unforgivable sin, which we have in today's gospel. Jesus puts it this way, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." Blasphemy. Actually, the word blasphemy means something worse than merely a mistake. It's to speak sacrilegiously about God or sacred things, irreverence or taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. So any false talk about God, whether it comes from ignorance or from active unbelief or false teaching, Jesus calls blasphemy. First, he says, though, all sins will be forgiven. That's a pretty big statement. Do you believe that Jesus' death is the adequate payment for all sins by everyone? I usually say there is no unforgivable sin. All sins have already been paid for. It is the refusal to believe this, that is, to believe in Jesus' blood and righteousness, the rejection of the gift of forgiveness that damns a person. Now, that's as far as I understood what the so-called unforgivable sin is, namely, simply the refusal to receive God's forgiveness, the refusal to believe it. In the context of these words, however, we see the unforgivable or unpardonable sin is much more specific than that. Jesus, as you know, said and did many unusual things. How do you explain them? People had a hard time. They had a hard time to understand and explain, especially his healing ministry. Well, that's where today's gospel begins. Jesus' popularity was growing rapidly, so that crowds gathered around him more and more. And today, St. Mark tells us the crowd was so big and kept Jesus so busy that they could not even eat. It is amazing to hear Jesus' family sound so contemporary when they say, "He's out of his mind. He's gone crazy." The word is related to our English word ecstasy. That, of course, is one way to explain Jesus' unusual actions. He's gone nuts. Of course, they were wrong. To think of Jesus as going crazy is wrong, and to believe it is a sin. But Jesus says even these blasphemies or sins are forgiven. As he said from the cross, remember, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Thanks be to God for his gift of forgiveness, even and especially when it is a result of our ignorance and weakness. Remember that Jesus also said to Peter, not only blessed are you, but get behind me, Satan, when he disagreed with Jesus' prediction of the necessity of his death for the life of the world. And yet, even when Satan is involved, our sin is forgiven. Believe that. But now, what about this unforgivable sin? And I'm going to spend some time in Bible class taking that apart. What is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? It is that of the scribes and Pharisees in our text who were convinced and accusing Jesus of acting in league with Satan. That is, they were convinced that he was who he is, the miraculous Son of God, but they still accused him, saying the prince of demons is at work in him. And of course, the Satan has many different names. Beelzebub might sound like a strange name, but it's derived from the false god Baal. So, the unpardonable sin is to falsely accuse Jesus of being an agent of the devil. Now, in his little parable, Jesus points out the impossibility of Satan being against himself, of a house divided. Here he calls Satan the strong man. Jesus alone is the one stronger, as John the Baptist once declared when he said, "After me comes he who is mightier than I." But these parables suggest the reality that Satan and his forces are not done away with completely. He's still on the loose. How did St. Peter say it later? "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." What to do about it? Remember that ever since the cross and the empty tomb, the old evil foe is bound. The strong man has been bound, limited under the authority of Jesus. So, Peter says, resist him, firm in your faith. Remember that wonderful stanza in the hymn, "God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It," that seems to outright mock the devil. Well, Luther's hymn, "The Mighty Fortress," says that too. "Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now to the font I have traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me." Blasphemy is the result of a false judgment, failing to recognize who Jesus really is, and it's a forgivable sin. The rejection of our Lord that led to opposition and the destruction of Jesus by those gentlemen so beautifully depicted on the cover of your service folder stand condemned. The day is coming, however, when the stronger one will plunder the strong man's house, bring an end to all sin, temptation, and death, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.